Blog Talk Radio.
I had to bring mom in on this one.
Anybody grateful for God's blood?
Tell them about it, man.
Oh, the blood that saved me, the blood that raised me, the blood that healed me.
Yes. Listen. And thank you for the Lamb.
Thank you for the Lamb.
Oh, the Lamb that was sacrificed.
I'm so glad.
You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. When there's a better life, there's a better life.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker.
If you feel lost,
he's a way maker.
If you got change,
yeah.
We all search for the light of day in the dead of night. We all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We all run with things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. Somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it. Somebody testify.
Blood that healed me.
Yes. Listen.
saved my life.
And thank you for the Lamb.
Thank you for the Lamb.
Oh, the Lamb that was sacrificed.
I'm so glad.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Tonight, the interview is with Mr. Russell Tyson. He is the playwright of A Changed Mind, which is a really great theater play. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Tyson?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing fine. Basically, we had to redo this, and I apologize for that. So you're the playwright of A Changed Mind. Would you tell everyone about your play, your theater play?
A Changed Mind is basically about the wealth of a African-American family, overall based in out of Atlanta. It's just basically about a family that lives in the luxury but face the same problems that anybody else will face, the deception, the deceit, the betrayal, the joy, the happiness. So it's a play that everybody and anybody can relate to.
All right. So Elaine, the character Elaine, what is her name?
The person in the clip you see, her name is Nakia Lawrence.
Okay.
A profound actress here in Atlanta.
She's definitely a good actress. And who is the lady in the gold dress?
Her name is Whitney. I don't want to say the wrong last name, but her name is Whitney. Because we did this play, I would say, when did we do this play? That clip right there, I think we did in 2019.
Okay. All right.
And I'm just releasing the video of it.
Okay. This theater play is really a great one. It's in a class by itself. You're very much a great theater play writer. You're very good. I'm surprised that I haven't heard your name. I've seen you on DVDs and things, your theater plays.
I like to crawl before I walk, so I take my time
and
enjoy my productions.
Okay, you enjoy your productions. Okay, well, that's a good frame of mind. You're enjoying yourself, so that's a good frame of mind. So, we're talking about A Changed Mind, the name of your theater play.
Yes.
So as we were talking about A Changed Mind, you were also talking about some other things. But before we get to those other things, because I've had to re-record this show, this interview, tell me about A Changed Mind. Give me a snippet of it.
The snippet is basically a wealthy music producer who built his career based off his wife, his wife Dana, big time. Well, she's a successful attorney, Christian woman, a family woman. She gave it all up to be married to him, because now he's a big time music producer, and therefore he finds himself telling people that his baby mama is dead. And therefore, you got to come see who his baby mama really is, because she's not dead. But,
okay.
But there's other twists and turns where I would say values to the production, where we already know it's based off relationships and healing and building relationships. Also, it's based off friendships. Where you have Dana, has her best friend who comes to visit her because he ain't seen her friend in so long.
All right.
And then you also have the relationship with step-parents, with the step-kids. Rodney has two kids, and therefore Dana, as the stepmother, has to adapt herself into this new family, already made family. But the uniqueness about Dana is she's a PK, and therefore her new family has to understand that she comes from a very spiritual family of a pastor and first lady, and they don't play the radio when it comes to Christianity or families. So the play hits on every category of life that we all can face. In this case, I'm hoping to elevate it to a new project where it's going to be able to be delivered by other cultures. So therefore, every culture can get an understanding of we all need a changed mind in this society.
Okay. Now, in this society, a changed mind, what does that mean to you? What do you believe?
The idea of a changed mind for me is taken away from what we've to strive for and strive for what we need to strive for ourselves. Some people need to strive for people. We all need money. We already know that everybody needs money to survive. But in the case of it, a lot of people lose their peace. They lose their confidence. They lose their physical, actually. They lose so much of themselves just to get that wealth. So therefore, what I would love for people to take out of changed mind is heal yourself before you heal anybody else. Or better yet, change your mind. Because some of us, we're so vulnerable to love. We're so vulnerable to a title. We're so vulnerable to fitting in. Learn how to love yourself, learn how to accept yourself, and learn how to deal with yourself. And that's what we need to have to change mind.
Okay. Also, in the earlier interview, which I've deleted, said that you talked about what I brought up about a changed mind. You had said something about boxes and names on people.
Yeah, what I was saying was it's based on the categories that we all face and live in this society. Whereas you have people who are divided not because of their feelings, but because of what they're being taught to become. So if you're a high school graduate and you didn't go to college people would look down on you. But you don't know that college, that high school person could be the person that to elevate you beyond your high school, your college degree. So in value of category of society that the government has given us, I feel that we all need to break away from those categories and consider ourselves all to be just human beings. I'm not black. I'm not white. I'm not rich. I'm not poor. I'm not educated. I'm none of this what government has divided us to be. I am just a human being living on the earth next to you. And if we can all have that mentality, we have nothing to fight for, well, fight over. Because in this society that we all face, our minds has already been brainwashed that we, our Christian faith can't get along with Muslims or Jews or whites, or we can't get along because of the categories that we put ourselves in. So in this case, until we have that changed mind as a human being, we're going to stay divided. We're going to continue to have rumors of wars, and therefore it's getting worse now because the rumor of wars even is inside of our homes. And that's what changed mind is really portraying, the wars that we face in our own selves that comes into our homes. So if we break away from these categories, I think we'll have a better situation in life if we could just come together as human beings, not black, not white, not nothing else.
All right, but do you know where it's the worst at?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The things you're talking about, they're the worst in small towns where you only see mm-hmm. maybe a Mexican restaurant or a Chinese restaurant, and you don't see a lot of other races there except for the people who own those couple of businesses, their families. Maybe their brothers and sisters too, but where the population is mainly in those small towns is black or white, the population is within those towns and counties, that's where the most discrimination is. That's where the most hatred is, so to speak, in smaller towns. What do you think about that? That's what I found. Can you hear me?
Now I can, yeah.
I was saying, how do you feel about, I found that most discrimination and the most closed-minded people are in small towns. Small towns, yeah. Where it's the majority black or white, where there's very few Mexicans, very few Asians.
But,
you know, when it's like that, I found that that's where the most discrimination is. It's not necessarily in the bigger cities. Because in small towns, everybody tries to know everybody's business. Also, so what I'm saying is, in the smaller towns, everywhere I went, racism in blacks and whites is most prominent in the smaller towns. Now, the bigger cities, I've noticed it's the police. Well, it's like that in smaller towns, too, throughout the South. But it's not nearly as bad as it is in the cities with police killing people. And black people,
no.
They're killing each other also, you know, these young people. They've lost their minds.
The thing is, what I will say is, because I've gone to some small cities, and in my experience, yes, there's racism. I will tell anybody, my first encounterment of racism wasn't in a small town, and it wasn't in a city. It was in the military. That was my first encounterment with racism. But in a case of small towns, I've gone to small towns where it was sometimes I was ready to run, but in some cases there was small towns that I had gone to that was like, oh my God, it's a black person. Hey, can I buy you a drink? We welcome you. So it's I wouldn't say it's not based on the size of the town. It's not based on the population. It's just based on the heart of people. Because there are some racist blacks, there are some racist whites, there's some racist Asians, and they're within every perimeter of the state or the country. Small cities, big cities. Far as the police, that's just a brainwashed society that needs to be demolished and start over. And that's what I feel about everything for us, because all of us right now, we're all holding on to hurt from what we're being taught, from what we've been heard, what we've been lied about. It's so much animosity that if we just erase all of that stuff and just start completely over, especially with the Constitution, that was founded by all white men. Can we go have a black man add something in for us? But in the case of it, the society, this government that we have, has always been built off racism. And it's not just because black and white. It's all because of green. Government will cause us to fight each other because it's profitable for them. If we all got along, we wouldn't need no government. We know how to take care of each other. And that's what I wish more people would understand. White people will take care of black people. Black people will take care of white people. But you do have those large amount of people who won't take care of nothing but themselves. And therefore, they want you to have that mentality as well. And but yet, these are the same people that call themselves bishops, they call themselves preachers, and call themselves politicians, senators. We have to try the spirit by the spirit. And that's for we need to come together with light spirit and show them, if we build a humanitarian way of our own spirit, then we can probably make a difference. Because if, like you were saying about the kids today, the kids don't have no protection, no guidance, no nothing. We, back in the days, for me, in my earlier days, we had a village. And therefore, that village protected us. Today, these young kids don't have a village. We're too busy trying to be celebrities ourselves at our old age. But in the case of it, who's paying attention to the kids? Who's motivating these kids? And therefore, how can we denounce our youth when we're not even spending time with them? We're not teaching them how to build an income. We're teaching them how to dodge the police. We're teaching them how to, matter of fact, most of the parents have already messed up their credit before they was even 18. But we have destroyed our own youth. It's not the youth destroyed themselves. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these young people, they have some issues that my question is, where did this come from? It started at birth. You can see it. But in the case of it, where was the village to love on that child? We have always had problem kids, but we also had a village to love on that child. When you couldn't, if you couldn't handle your child, somebody in that community could. So I can't say it was we have bad kids. It's us who neglecting our kids. If we had put all of our money together and created organizations and programs, we don't need the government to fund us. We have the gifts and the talents to manifest these kids in the way they should go. But we're too busy trying to reach our own higher standard of going into the house versus building a house.
All right. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Seems like we're trying to burn down the house, so the kids are, the young people.
They need to.
But anyway, I found that in places like Mississippi and other places, some places in the South, that the young people are actually killing each other.
Well, I mean, we have to understand, when we talk about Mississippi, we also have to understand Mississippi just got out of slavery 2017. So that's just a slave mentality that they have. But in the case of it, it's just with us as adults, if we see that problem, I mean, I understand we're in Atlanta, and I understand things are expensive these days, especially with COVID. But in the case of it, we need to take back our power. And what I mean take back our power, we need to let government stay out of our homes and stay out of our lives. Because when we adapt to the government dictates what we can and cannot do for our kids. Just like we're having an issue right now that we cannot even teach our kids the proper black history because they want us to teach them their history. And that's where the racism do kick in. Because what about our success? What about our achievement? What about our overcoming? We have not been able to elevate ourselves because we're too busy fighting for our right to vote in 2021. We're too busy fighting for our right to live in 2021 by these police. And don't get me wrong, yes, it's racist as all get out, but in the case of it, we can't say it's racist because it's black cops shooting us as well. They getting brownie points for that badge. It's a system.
Yeah.
And that's what we continue to build. We continue to build systems to keep us divided versus bringing a system to keep us elevated. Because in my days, we didn't want to get in trouble because we had Officer McGruff, a puppy dog. But Officer McGruff kept us energized to say we were friends with the cops. Now we're figuring that we just the terrorists of the cops. You see one, you want to run, and you haven't even done nothing. So it's the system, it's the systematic thing that they're creating for us to have fear. The government is a terrorist. What is a terrorist? A person who creates the act of fear amongst masses. That's what our government is doing. That's what the police is doing. They're creating themselves as terrorists to the black community, even to the white people, because they're killing their kids too. Like you had one officer who was trying to, years ago I would say, to tell the little boy to get down, get up, get down. The boy got confused and he just shot him up. He wasn't black, he was white. But in the case of it, we do have our media that puts out what they want to put out. But the thing is, where is our media that's elevating, saying this is what our people are achieving, this is what this person achieving. Let's celebrate each other. And that's what I prefer in saying we need to change mind. We need to learn how to celebrate each other versus knocking each other. I have people that I cannot stand them. I promise you, I say that to anybody. I would not be affiliated with them, but what I will not do is discredit them. If it works for y'all, y'all go right ahead. It's not for me. But it's not my job to knock you down. It's for me. I have my own little world over here. You have your own world all over there. But if you come over here, then we got some problems. But moreover, do what you have to do for your group, for your community. If your category is to elevate, make sure you're elevating our community for the next generation, not just for yourself, just for the next generation. Our kids are being misled.
Yes, that is true. So that's a changed mind. So you can't tell me a lot about the theater play. I just know it's a lot of twists and turns in it. But what I saw was darn good. Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great, great, great. I saw where the young woman, I think she was a teenager, was really giving her stepmother a hard time. And she fell to her knees and prayed.
And that thing that you just spoke of, I just wanted people to see and understand, because it disturbs me when I hear older people telling young people, you ain't going through nothing, to be crying about life. And that's a lie. These young people are going through stuff that we face as an adult, but they're facing as a child. They're facing racism. They're facing losing best friends in school, getting shot up. So we never know what these young kids are going through. But in the case of it, again, we're so busy. Child in your own home feel they can't even talk to their parents. And therefore, that particular scene was to take it to God, because that's the only place, person, or spirit that you could actually go when you feel you're all alone. And that's what persona of that scene was all about, which was portrayed by Miss Courtney, another phenomenal actress that I've had the encounter to work with, which she executed that scene because she actually brought me to tears as well. But that particular scene there, it was basically to allow young people to have a voice, and she executed that scene.
Oh, okay. All right, so you have a lot of great ideas and a lot of opinions. I enjoy listening to you talk, but I also know that it's not going to be that way till God returns, the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
what you're talking about, I know it's not going to be that way till the Messiah returns. So
I
wish it could be that way, but I don't think it will be. I don't see this country getting any better. I see it getting worse. One person
the thing
is threatened. Everybody is being threatened. You get what I'm saying? When one person threatens one person and nobody does anything or says anything, then everybody's being threatened. Everybody's in danger. They just don't realize it. But but that's another story. So Dr. Pamela Baker referred me to you, and I've enjoyed this interview immensely.
Thank you, thank you. As she said,
yes.
you saw the clip, and I'm like, you're going to do this radio interview? I'm like, okay, I think.
Okay.
She's one of my number one supporters.
Oh yes, she's supportive for me also. I think that's just her nature.
She has been like this all my life. All my life.
Oh, okay.
Even when I feel I don't have a gift, she's one of the people that truly elevates my gifts with my mindset to keep going.
That's what she keeps telling me, keep going. With my digital radio interview show, my podcast, she just says, keep going. I said, I've been in it since 2010. And she said, just keep going. I said, actually, 2009, if you want to hear the truth about it. But 2010 is, I've been at this come January the 2nd. I believe it will be 12 years. Yeah, 12 years. So she tells me to keep going. You know, she says my time is going to come. So, you know, she's very encouraging.
And I'll say this to you, Ms. Angela.
The one that comes off.
I will say this, and I tell this to anybody that tunes in. Never allow your positives to go negative. Allow your negatives to go positive. Even though you've been doing this for 12 years, you're at your top. So you make your top however you want your top to be. I tell people often, I want to quit. I'm tired. I've done enough. They're like, you haven't reached the masses. And I'm like, I've reached my top. But there's more for me to see. If I'm ready for it, kind of. But and the thing is, in your situation as a podcast, as a personality, I would say don't give up on this because you're opening doors for voices that nobody else will ever hear. And this is the beginning of a change because there's people that have a voice, but nobody won't offer their platform to them because they feel they're not big enough. They want people with huge followings. They want people with this amount of money. For you to open your doors for myself and to share my voice, I can't thank you enough. So I say whatever you're doing right now is truly a blessing to so many people.
Yes, and you're a blessing also. Your words are. And you keep on with that theater play. That's a really great theater play. I enjoyed the clips immensely. Hopefully I'll see it one day. If not,
if I can't
be there, then maybe you'll send me a DVD or something, autograph it or something.
I'm going to find a cast and I'm going to create a DVD just for you, Ms. Angela.
Okay.
That's going to be my 22.
I'm going to hold you to that, Mr. Russell Tyson.
Yes, ma'am. Hold me to it. I'm going to get this done this year. There's going to be a DVD for Change Mind.
Okay. All right. It's coming up you. Well, God bless you, Mr. Russell Tyson. God bless you, and God bless your words. And thank you for gracing the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler, with your intellect and talent.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. God bless you.
Take care.